welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547.
I want us to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. We are going to be looking at the topic today on finding grace. Finding grace. You see, we had been doing a study. The last time I taught here, I think I talked about mercy and grace. And last month, that is the month of May, we did a study in Stream Globe Devotional on mercy. Mercy and grace. But we focused a little bit on mercy. You see, the reason why we did that is because from scripture, we understand that mercy and grace are like two sides of the same coin. In fact, the reason why you can receive grace is because of the mercy of God. We say things like you are saved by grace and through faith. Grace is, one of the definitions of grace is unmerited favor. Another definition of grace is God working in us, working to help us fulfill his good pleasure. You cannot talk about grace without talking about the active power of God. Mercy, on the other hand, is the reason why we receive grace. So the Bible says that we should draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So we'll start this reading. It's quite a long study, and I trust that the Lord will help us. But we'll start from Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read verse 16. And it says, but for us to have this in context, we would have to start from verse 14. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest, we should hold fast our profession. One. Then it says that, it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. So there is a temple in heaven and Jesus is our high priest there. And he's very capable of this. He's not a high priest that cannot identify with our infirmities. He knows what it feels like to be a man. He knows our imperfection. He understands our struggles. That is the high priest that we have. He understands our struggle, and so he can identify with us. He knows how serious sin can be, so he can identify with us. He understands these things, so he can identify with us. Thank you, Jesus. And he says that, let us therefore come boldly. Therefore, why? Because we have a priest. He said, let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The reason why we come boldly is because we have a high priest. Who are those that have this high priest? Who are those that Jesus is their high priest? They are those that have accepted the lordship of Christ. They are those that have received him. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, that as many as received him, God gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there is a receiving of him. And how do we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? I was talking to a Muslim the other day, and he said, no, I believe in Jesus Christ. We love Jesus as Muslims. I say, you have received him, but you have not received him the way people receive him for salvation, because you have received him as a prophet. But Jesus Christ didn't come to be received as a prophet. He came to be received as the Messiah. The Messiah is the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. And that means that he becomes your king. Because that's really what that means. The Messiah means the king. He was to be king of the Jews. And he will come and reign from Israel. During his second coming, he will rule over this entire world. And the physical location of his throne will be in Israel. You know, Jesus is a physical person. If Jesus appears here now, you will see him physically. Because he has a body. So he says, therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace and receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. Let us confidently approach the throne of grace. So the reason why we can confidently approach the throne of grace, even if we have sinned. Because let me tell you what sin does for you. Sin does against your conscience. Sin makes it so that you are not able to approach God's throne. And let me tell you what Jesus Christ, our high priest, does. If you read the Old Testament, you see that one of the things that the high priest will do is that he takes hyssop. Hyssop is a very common plant in the Middle East. He takes hyssop and uses it to sprinkle the blood of atonement. That sprinkled blood is the reason why the people of Israel were justified before God every year. That is why they could have a relationship with God. You will see that even when death was coming, because that is also allegorical, in Egypt, the spirit of death, the angel of death was moving around. But for those that there was blood on their doorposts, this angel of death couldn't take them because of the blood that was applied using hyssop. Now you see that what Jesus Christ does for us is that he is the high priest that offered himself and his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And it is because of that and that alone that we have boldness before God. If your boldness is in any other thing, you cannot stand before the throne of God. It's not strong enough. The reason why you think that you can approach God is because you have not told a lie for a long time. And there is merit in not telling a lie for a long time. If you are born again and you have not told a lie for a long time, and you have not committed known sins for a long time, it is called holiness. It is holiness that empowers us, that enables us to walk in our divine. Any believer that is not holy cannot walk in many aspects of his sonship in the kingdom of God. The reason is just simple. God is a king. And in order for him to use you and you become an expression of his glory, you need to be sanctified only to him. That is the real meaning of holiness. So your vessels must not do anything that he does not approve. And when that has been accomplished in any aspect of your life, say for example your tongue. If your tongue has been refrained from lying, you no longer have a lying tongue. It will be easy for your tongue to be able to speak, and your words will no longer be mere words, but they will be powerful words that cannot fall to the ground. Because what God has been able to do is that he has been able to sanctify your tongue. And one of the most difficult things to sanctify is your tongue. In fact, James says that any man that is perfect in the area of his tongue, he's perfect in all things. Your body is supposed to be able to transmit God's power. But let's not leave topic. If you are a believer, what makes you righteous is the blood of Jesus. We are justified by faith. We are justified by faith. So before your faith even produced any corresponding action, because one of the ways that you know that faith is living, is alive, is that it also has its own works. They are called the works of faith. Now, there is a world of difference between the works of faith and the works of the law. The works of the law says that if I do this, then I will earn God's approval. That's the works of the law. The works of the law is very meritorious, as it were. And so the works of the law always inspires pride. We feel that we can earn favor with God, which has never even really been possible. That's why ultimately the law couldn't accomplish righteousness with God. The people that had right standing with God, that had communion with God, even in the time of old, the Old Testament time, were those that went beyond the works of the law, that understood the economy of faith. The Abrahams and the Davids of that time, they were those that understood the economy of faith. So the works of the law says that I can earn righteousness with God. But the works of faith says that because I am righteous with God, I cannot continue like this again. So it's not trying to pay for anything. It's just a natural response of what has happened. If somebody tells me now that I have a lot of money has been deposited in my account, and let's say hitherto I used to be very broke, and I used to live like a very broke person, I would maybe not be able to eat proper meals and all of that, and all the money I have in my hand is maybe 1,000 naira, and that 1,000 naira is supposed to carry me for the next couple of days. So I will buy 200 naira food today, buy 200 naira food tomorrow. If somebody tells me and I believe it, I see an alert in my phone that 1,000,000 naira has been paid into my account, I will not be eating the poor, malnourished, poor food I was eating. I will use that 1,000 naira to go and buy proper food and eat. Because I know that I now have money in my account. And then I will now go and withdraw the remaining money that is in my account. And this is an illustration of what we are seeing. You see, what the works of faith does is that because you know that you have right standing with God, because you know that you are the righteousness of God, you act as the righteousness of God. But here is what happens. For a person that is walking by faith and not by sight, and not, you know, under the law, even if he makes a mistake, even if he misses it, he understands that his right standing with God, first and foremost, was not because of his works. It was because of faith. It was because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So even if he misses it, even if he makes a mistake, he is not condemned. The devil cannot, invoke condemnation upon such a believer that understands that's living by faith. So what he does is that he immediately repents and forsakes his sin. But there is this condemnation that normally comes after a sin is committed that is ministered by the devil that will not be able to stick on him if he's a believer that is walking by faith. So the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the problem with condemnation is that condemnation may look as if it is nice. It doesn't produce any good thing. It only weakens you and makes you to repeat that sin over and over again. That is what condemnation does. But when you understand that you have been justified, just as if you have never sinned, even when you committed a sin, you know that you are still the righteousness of God. Because your being declared the righteousness of God was not predicated on your action first. It was predicated on the actions of Jesus. So even when you fall short, when you commit a sin, when you do what you are not supposed to do, you need to understand that you are still the righteousness of God. And because of the righteousness of God, you cannot continue in sin. So you repent of your sin, knowing that you are still the righteousness of God. That is the basic doctrine of righteousness. But we need to go beyond that and understand holiness. Because when you talk about salvation by faith, righteousness that is imputed, this is some of the things we call the word of faith and the milk of God's word. But when we begin to talk about holiness, you need to understand that because you are his son, you need to be responsible. You cannot continue to sin. He says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says that since we have these great and exceeding promises, what are the promises? If you read the previous verses in chapter 6, it talks about how God says that I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters indeed. He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. Those are serious promises. The reason why Jesus could speak to a dead man and say, Lazarus, rise up, and he came forth, so that his body had already started decaying, was because he was a son. He was operating on this earth with the authority of God. And that is what God wants to bring all of us into. But for a believer, it is not possible for a believer, first and foremost, it's not possible for you to be holy without you first of all being righteous, without you understanding that you are accepted. And because you are accepted, you now begin to ensure that you walk in a pure manner. And it's when you have been able to perfect holiness. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, since we have these great and exceeding promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because it is when we have been able to perfect holiness that we'll be able to walk in this. So I explained about the tongue the other time, that if God has not been able to sanctify your tongue, he cannot use your tongue to declare things. Some people will speak, and the words that they are speaking carry life. It is like fire. It causes great conviction. You see, what happens with such people is that God has been able to sanctify their tongue so that when they speak, their words are no longer mere words. Hallelujah. And there are many aspects of your life that God will have to sanctify. And when God has succeeded in sanctifying you, then you can be an expression of his grace. You can be an expression of his power. You can be an expression of his glory. Hallelujah. So, we have seen that in order for us to, appropriate the grace of God, I discussed that the last time. Now, in order for us to walk in the grace of God, we must understand that we have obtained mercy. I talked about the protocols of mercy. He says that we have mercy upon them that fear him. There's also another scripture that says he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy on. So there is the aspect of mercy that is predetermined. As long as you are walked into time, you are inside time. The Bible says his mercies are renewed every morning. You are a human being in time. You are an object of God's mercy. You can access God's mercy. You see, that's what the angels did not have when they fell. Because they are not in time. As soon as we pass out of time, we have passed out of the economy of mercy. What I mean is that if you die now and you are no longer in this body of flesh, there is no more redemption there because the economy of mercy is walked into time. His mercies are new every morning. So it is important for us to take full advantage of the mercy that we have right now. Let's go to our main teaching. I wrote so much down. It says that let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. I'm now reading from New English Translation. And obtain grace. And find grace. Sorry. This is very, very important. Every translation, I'm not talking about paraphrase. Every translation of the Bible does not mix that word, find. The word there is find grace. King James said we may obtain mercy and find grace. New English Translation, which is also a very good translation, says to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. King James says to find grace to help us in time of need. It is grace that will help you in time of need. It's grace that will help you not to fall into that temptation again. It is grace that will help you out of that infirmity. Because the grace of God is the power of God at work in us. And what happens with grace is that you find grace. So you come and you obtain mercy. You receive mercy. So Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, remember he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. So in order for you to receive mercy, all you need to do is to ask for mercy. But grace, it's not exactly so. In order for you to have grace, you have to find grace. You have to seek for grace. What is the difference between asking and seeking? Most of the time, you seek what has already been given, but it is not yet evident to you. So for example, crude oil is abundant in our planet. God has given us a lot of good crude oil. That's what we use to power most of our plants and our vehicles and all of that. But in order for us to, as abundant as it is, in order for us to lay hold on crude oil and find it, we have to seek for it. And so there's a lot of exploration and then there's drilling. And when you find it, you have found it. You see, that's how grace is. And there is grace in different aspects. The Bible talks about the manifold grace of God. And in order for you to find grace in some areas, you need to seek for it. So how do we seek? So imagine that you come to a place now and you're looking for something. You will mostly use a satellite to seek for it. Especially when you are in a place where there is darkness. We need to go a little deeper now. If you look into the Holy of Holies, there was the light of the outer court was the light of the sun. The outer court didn't need any extra illumination, but the holy place, the inner court, there was the light of the menorah, the candle lamps. That was what lighted up the inner place. And what does that stand for? It stands for the word of God. And when you talk about the Holy of Holies, there is no candle inside the Holy of Holies. There is no menorah inside the Holy of Holies. Because what lights up that place, the Holy of Holies, is the presence, the light of God's presence. I don't know if I can teach properly on this right now. But what I want you to understand, child of God, is that when you come into the presence of God, in order for you to find grace, you have to use the light of God's word. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says, the entrance of thy word gives light and understanding to the simple. You cannot separate grace from faith. And faith is a concomitant, is a product of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So in order for you to find grace in any area, the searchlight by which you find grace is the word of God. Mercy is received, grace is found. You receive something because you ask for it. You find something when you seek for it, when you look for it. You need to seek grace. Grace is imparted. And grace is found. Now, in order for there to be an impartation of grace, there need to be a gesture of seeking. But we are not going to be able to look at that today. But let me just say that for the sake of those that are taking notes. If you remember Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 was says that thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And the Lord says, I will take sickness and disease from the midst of thee. I remember how that word brought me into an era, a season of divine health, where I just, for a very long time, didn't even take paracetamol. That is what the word of God does. Grace brings you, the word of God, helped me to find grace in that area. There are words that when you hear, there are words that when you listen to, they will quicken grace in different aspects of your life. You see, for you who is struggling with sin, there is a word of God that you will hear that will quicken grace in that area. And sin will no longer be that irresistible force that you have been struggling with. Now, there is a connection between grace and faith. If you read Romans chapter 6, no, that's not, it's not Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 4 verse 16. You will see that there is, let's just read Romans chapter 4 verse 16. Romans chapter 4 verse 16. It says, for this reason it is by faith, so that it may be by grace, with the result that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are under the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, as we prefer to proceed in this study, I just want us to acknowledge the Lord in a song. I want us to acknowledge the Lord in a song. And as we acknowledge the Lord, we are going to go into the next phase of this teaching. You are the one doing what no one can do. How excellent is your name. You are the one doing what no one can do. How excellent is your name. O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name. Baba Fagbara Reho. Baba Fagbara Reho. Ki gbogbo araye le mo daju wipe Jesu ni kan loba lori aye gbogbo baba fagbara re han. Father, I worship you. So let's continue. Romans says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. In order for something to be by grace, it has to be of faith. The scripture says that you are saved. We are saved. by grace through faith. Anything that is grace that must be received, it has to be received by faith. So this is how it happens. When God wants to do something, he speaks a word. And that word is living and active. It is grace released. When God releases that word, actually grace is released. Now, when you hear the word and you believe that word, and then you now begin to act according to what you believe, that is actually called faith. Faith is, that's the difference between faith and hope. Hope is the expectation, when you hear a word and you believe it. But faith is when you now begin to act according to what you believe. So faith is a substance of hope, of things hoped for. So you cannot separate faith from action. You cannot, if you believe, you know, somebody tells me that, I just sent you a package. Can you please come and pick it up? And I hear, I say, wow, nice. And I believe it. The please come and pick it up, be me leaving my house and going to the place to pick up the package, that is my belief in action. Faith in action. If I don't leave my house and I just sit down in my house and I believe it, I have not added substance to my hope. And therefore, I will not be able to receive it. So that's what faith is. Faith is the action that you put into hope. And that's why when a person is lazy and slothful, it really is a sign that they have no faith. So the Bible says, do not be slothful in business, but be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Then you begin to see in the same book of Hebrews, it talks about diligence. That how God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is faith. Faith always produces diligence, because if you truly believe what God has said, you will act according to what you believe. There will be demands that hope will make on you. So for example, we expect that the Lord is coming. One of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing is because I know I have a reward with the Lord. I know I will stand before the Lord and give an account of everything he has ordained for me to do. And I will be rewarded according to my work. So all of these things I am doing, the work I am doing is a product, it's faith. It's faith in action. I have hope. But this proof that I have hope is that I am serving the King. I am pleasing him. I'm trying to, you know, do what he expects of me, because I expect him to return and I expect him to come and reward us, and I expect to be rewarded.